Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh. It's Game Time Decisions. It's a little infield pop-up. Could get out of trouble here in the first inning of Tampa, Texas. A family play. People sent it a little nerfy. Rooted in. Rooted in for the family. What else do we have live on that baseball board for people right now? Miami, we played the Marlins. Where's this live baseball board? I tell you, the computer, it's not clicking the same as it used to. But I heard Miami was up early in that baseball game. 1-0 early. Chance to do some more damage. Minus 430. 2-0 Miami. Minus 430 on their money line. That's fantastic. That's a bad spoiler. That's a bad spoiler. We'd love for that to be wrong. I don't think it is. Is that a 3-run home run from the Texas Rangers that's about to pop through here? Yeah, can't win with that. Pepois, let's get him to the bench. All right, it's an uphill battle from here. 2-0 Phils. Scoreless in Baltimore, Kansas City. The Pirates are getting off to a hot start this year. That's what happens when you play the Washington Nationals. An unfortunate scene there. That's what it is. All right. Let's get over to Davis Maddock. Let's get involved with the same game parlay, and then we'll come back and go through the rest of the baseball board. The one thing I'll tell people, because the game that's going to is that Mets-Tigers game. I'm not on it. If I was in the game, though, I'd look for Javi Baez, hits, runs, RBIs. Javi's got, look, it's small, but a decent enough numbers against Sean Manaea. Like the revenge angle there against the New York Mets. So if I were to get involved with that game, minus 140, give or take money line on the New York Mets with Sean Manaea on the mound. 7.5 is your over-under. Mets offense, horrendous in the opening series. We'll see how that plays out. I would look towards Javi Baez. That's the 7-10 game. Radio audience, Sirius XM, channel 159. We're here. We're live. It's Game Time Decision. On a Monday night. I'm Kevin Walsh with you. We're going to throw it over though to Davis Maddock for a same game parlay.
All right, guys, we are back with another Major League Baseball same game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We're going to take a look at one of the night games, the New York Yankees traveling to play at the Arizona Diamondbacks. We are going to begin by taking Ryan Nelson and the Arizona Diamondbacks on the money line. I just continue to think this is a pretty middling New York Yankees team, both in terms of their starting pitching and the bottom half of their order, and I think they are overinflated pretty much across the board. We are also going to take the under on 10 runs here with Ryan Nelson and Luis Gil pitching in this game. Again, I think that the Yankees offense very overvalued by the market, and I think that's really flooding into the line, although neither of these starting pitchers are all that strong. And we are going to finish our same game parlay by taking Ryan Nelson over 3.5 strikeouts in this contest, just basically saying he gets 4 or 5 innings in and strikes out some of those guys in the bottom of the order. This 3-leg same game parlay gives us plus 356 odds. Diamondbacks money line under 10 total runs and Ryan Nelson over 3.5 total strikeouts.
Interesting same game parlay from Davis. Seems like he didn't catch the end of the baseball preview extravaganza where we established the Yankees were going 162-0, 4-0. So that's an interesting move from Davis there. Could be a typo. Is it a typo? Probably a typo. I mean, come on now. Have you seen this Juan Soto? I'll just say this quickly, all right? The Yankees just won 4 straight games in Houston, and Aaron Judge had 2 hits in the series, 1 RBI, and was on a sac fly. He's batting 125 to start the year. Pretty great. Pretty great. Diamondbacks are live, though. I kind of agree with that, but no, I don't. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Let's get involved with this Astros-Blue Jays game. Love Houston in a bounce-back spot here. Love Houston in a bounce-back spot. Talking with the baseball crew, you knew there was going to be a sweep or two in that opening series, right? Where people kind of come back, whoa, dogs in every game, favorite in every game, can't lose every game, at home, and they get beat up. Happened with Houston, happened with the Mets, happened with the Miami Marlins. On Miami, 4-0. Tremendous. Wanted to fade the Angels a little bit here. Light, and the game ended up about picked. Mayer's got a little bit of stuff. We like that. I really like Ronel Blanco. This, to me, is just, it's about the Astros. This is what they do, all right? What'll happen is, they weren't sure if he was going to be in this rotation because Jose Urquidy. Urquidy gets banged up. Here comes Blanco. This guy will be in the Cy Young race come July. That's who the Houston Astros are. It's who they've always been. This lineup will hit here. They got off to a slow start against the New York Yankees. Yordan Alvarez, 2 of 17 in the series. Bregman, 3 of 15 in the series. Jose Abreu, a pitiful 0 for 11. This lineup will get hot here. Don't be surprised. They score 6-7 runs in this baseball game. I love the Astros on their money line. I know it's, you know, minus 140, minus 142 range for people. With baseball, you're going to have to lay some numbers. You're not going to only bet dogs. Sometimes you're going to have to lay some numbers there. Astros are the MLB play of the day. Through 4 days of baseball, I'm sitting a dead even 2-2 on the MLB play of the day. A dead even 2 on the MLB play of the day. Let's make it 3-2 with the Houston Astros. I am going to give the Seattle Mariners a little love here tonight against the Guardians. This Guardians team off to a tidy little 3-1 start because they played the Oakland Athletics. And I know people think Oakland can be scrappy, but at the end of the day, that's not earth-shattering. Now they're favored again in Seattle. This Mariners team's supposed to have juice. I know people like Tristan McKenzie. Clearly, they feel that that's the advantage here against Emerson Hancock. Hancock was supposed to be a top-level prospect at some point in his career, could have some stuff in this game. But I also think there's enough hitter-pitcher history within this lineup at the top end of it where we can see J.P. Crawford set the table. J-Rod's off to a great start to the year. And I like the Mariners as a slight home dog here. I believe the number was minus 105 that I played the Mariners at. Other things on the baseball board that I was trying to take a look at, Rafael Devers, potentially total bags. I might bet the Yerfi in that game, a little yes run first inning in Oakland, Boston. Manny Machado, good numbers against Kyle Gibson. Kyle Gibson was getting smashed all spring long. You talk about somebody that could be on the back end of his career, could be fade material, might not be on a major league roster by the time we hit June. That could be Kyle Gibson. This St. Louis rotation is terrible. It's the only way he makes it in. So put eyes on Manny Machado. And then Dodgers, Giants, nothing yet for me involved with this game here. And you want to be careful. You don't want to chase. But when does Ohtani hit that first home run? That's starting to feel like the question for me now, right? I mean, this guy Mookie Betts has 4 home runs. Is that real? I mean, is this serious? This guy Mookie Betts has 4 home runs already. The Oscar's got 3 of them. He looks great. Kike Hernandez last night was such a decent look. Muncy comes in, it's all good. But I am tempted by Shohei Ohtani. At some point, he's going to get there. Did not have an RBI in that series against St. Louis, which is unfortunate because this team went 7-6, 5-5 with runs scored. So Ohtani RBI, I don't hate that look at all. Against Keaton Wynn here? More like Keaton lost, if you ask me. We're on fire. It's a great.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Day. Joe Ranieri is going to be in the mix as we get to talk to him a little bit about the Elite Eight settling up on the men's side of it, talk some baseball, talk some hoops, and then at in about 15 minutes or so, we'll do what to watch for with the NBA, and then in about a half hour, we're going to have Dave Sharapan live here and getting in the mix and getting the updates with the Consig a little bit later on. We're starting April hot. Game time decisions, Joe Ranieri, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh here with Game Time Decisions man himself, Joe Ranieri, star of the show, many have said. Joe, how's it going?
That's good. Well, it's good because we're already messing with the producers. That's wonderful. They don't know who to send it to. Mm-hmm. So no, it's true. Always a pleasure to see you here, my man. And baseball's off and running. So I think we're both in agreement. Machado will pull a hamstring by about the fifth inning. I don't know what the number is on that, but there's a few of these guys I don't think that are in bad situations that are going to get worse before they ever get better.
Is that a Florida book hanging that? That sounds like a Florida-only sports book may hang that option. Do you have any action in right now with this baseball board or upcoming with the baseball?
Yeah, so currently I just watched, Jung hit a three-run home run there against Tampa. So they're up 3-0. That's not looking good. But I'm really impressed with Kansas City here, and they've gotten three really good starts out of that pitching rotation there. They got a former bullpen coach now that used to be with the Atlanta Braves. And this team all of a sudden, I think, can be very bettable over the next month and a half here. I love Waka tonight. He's a crafty guy. He's been around the American League. And I thought this number was a little high going up against Kremer at 8, which is what it closed. So I'm on the under here tonight with Kansas City and Baltimore.
Okay. All right, early 1-0 lead, as you mentioned, for the Kansas City Royals. I think what's so interesting, whenever a league gets underway, right, especially if you enjoy the sport, you have such eyes on it, and then it'll be May 16th, and you're like, I don't know what anyone's record is other than the Braves because they still, because they're 27-4, whatever it might be, right?
Yep.
But so you never want to overreact. I'll just say this. As a Yankee fan, Juan Soto, look, they retired Paul O'Neill's number. They might as well retire the Soto number, Joe. I mean, people are going to be betting his props now nonstop. The confidence it's going to put in people to bet the Yankees – to beat the Astros for 4 on the road, dog at each game, no Gerrit Cole. The vibes were awful heading into the season, it felt like, for the Yanks. They played tonight in Arizona. I would not stun me one bit they lose that baseball game. Slight road favorite. But just that was the kind of start that I feel the Yankees really needed. Not an overreaction, but to go to Houston and grab, 4-4, I thought that was impressive.
Well, I mean, a lot of that had to do with the fact that Houston's bullpen is hot ass right now. So they're unbettable as far as that goes. I mean, I wouldn't be giving all the credit in the world to the Yankees. Although I'll tell you this, the Yankees bullpen is in midseason form because they had to hold the fort down in each of those games and give the Yankees bats and a time to eventually get back into it. But it certainly wasn't because of Judge's outstanding hitting at the plate.
Well,
what, 2 for 16? Like, come on.
Hold on. Couldn't agree more. You tell me what the result of that series looks like if last year's Yankees get a 2 for 16 Aaron Judge series. Not only do they go 0-4, they don't score 4 runs.
Correct.
So, agree. In a weird, them winning while Judge was awful was great. Yep. Now, if Judge remains awful, then we'll do panic button. Maybe this guy's toe is going to ruin his career. I don't know. Yep. But assuming that doesn't happen, it makes things feel a bit better. Let me get your thoughts early here. With the Elite Eight finishing up, we have the Final Four now. And sometimes when you get to a Final Four and there's like the obvious matchup, right? But if you put together the Moneyline parlay, you go, that probably doesn't come in. This Moneyline parlay of UConn-Purdue is minus 250. What that means is there's not going to be many UConn-Purdue Moneyline parlays. And they're huge favorites. Purdue, you get it. It's an 11. UConn's a huge favorite because the books are like, please stop betting this team. This is a nightmare. It's 2 years of this stuff. What is your early read on the big favorites in the Final Four?
Well, you got a choice to make, right? So you have to decide what kind of final you want. Do you want the best final that this will have to offer this season? Or are you hoping that it's going to be a upset now and an absolute blowout in the final game? Because that's our choices here. The two best teams that remain are clearly UConn and Zach Edey and Purdue. That is the game we should probably all be rooting for a championship, because if either one of the, and I don't see UConn, by the way, getting upset here. I mean, that's a pipe dream, Alabama. But if North Carolina State ends up somehow upending Purdue, and I don't see that happening either, then you're going to have an absolutely atrocious national championship. So what do you want? The best matchup is the chalkiest, unfortunately, but it usually is, and it has been over the decades.
You're 100% right. I think the people rooting against that have Alabama futures. If you have an NC State future, amazing.
Good luck.
You're sick. You're sick.
Yep.
You also bet it. You also bet it last week, right? You didn't. You don't have a preseason NC State. That can't be real. That can't be real. A preseason NC State future. Certainly not an in-season.
They already hedged out of it. If they did, they already hedged out of it.
That's a good point. So you're right. So here's what's left. The NC State people who have hedged out for profit, the Purdue people who believe, the UConn people who are counting the money, and then there's me. The Bama people who went, huh? I can't hedge a 50-1 because I'm a 11.5 point dog in a Final Four? Are you kidding me?
Yep.
And I don't know, Joe, I don't know what to do. Probably nothing. Probably nothing. And just be like, made a good bet. It's minus 700 on the money line for UConn.
Can't. Yep. You're better off. Well, listen, you're better off looking at the total in that game, which, depending on what you think you're going to get, my whole problem with Alabama is that great run, great job, got to win the games in front of you, although they certainly got a little bit of help along the way there with North Carolina and Clemson. But the reality is, what is their second pitch? Like, we just watched UConn annihilate a top five offensive team, an elite offensive team, held them to absolutely nothing. They won by 25, Kev, and they went 3 of 17 from three. They haven't shot the three at all in this tournament. We still haven't seen the best that UConn has. And I dare to say we've seen the best that Alabama has, and this could get ugly in a hurry.
I'll be honest with you, Joe. As we're sitting here on a Monday, I'm struggling with, is it my belief or is it blind faith? Am I feeling that Bama can hang? I think the thing is, there's been a lot of these Bama games. I go, hey, when they played Clemson, hey, they scored 85. Cool, they won. They play UConn, hey, they scored 85. I hope I bet the team total. UConn might score 100. UConn might score 100 in this game. So it gets interesting. And I'll say this, if somebody has a Bama ticket, the hedge number that I've considered is the UConn title price. But Yep. If they play Purdue, Joe, how much value am I getting on a minus 190 title price compared to what the money line will be when they play Purdue? The Purdue UConn money line is what, Joe? Minus 240?
Yeah. It's not going to be great. But you are better off looking, Kev, too. You hope Alabama comes out firing. And because the in-game opportunity at some point, if Bama is going to be competitive and if this game's going to be good, then Bama certainly can't be playing from behind the entire game. We know how, and they can't go long stretches without scoring. Ask Illinois how well that went. Hopefully you'll have an in-game opportunity to do it. Otherwise, you got to pick exact scores and exact matchups and hope the exotic market pays out for you.
Here's the thing. What Joe just did was give excellent advice to everyone. What he knows, that Bama's up 15-2, and he knows I'm going to go, oh, they're going to win the game. Confidence will be far too high. Rainier, you're the best. We'll be right back here on Game Time.
He knows. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here. It's Game Time Decisions. We are underway in Iowa LSU. Hawkeyes firing. 3 of 4 from three to open it up, a 15-6 lead. Hallie Van Lisch did score the first LSU basket. She was also the first sub. Let's be smart here, Mulkey. Huh? We need offense. I'm not sure we're going to throw Van Lisch to the bench. Defense, not our fault. Caitlin Clark's raining triples early. Two already made, 8 points early for Caitlin Clark. We'll give you the updates on that. But I want to do a little what to watch for with the NBA having just 2 weeks remaining in their regular season, because there is a lot in the balance right now. And there are some opportunities, I think, as well for us to jump in on and make some good wagers. Let's start here with a look at the Western Conference. Now, we've got the top race here. We're going to dive into this in a minute in the Northwest. Here are the play-in teams. Rockets are, of course, outside of it right now, but they're in that race. The Pels and the Mavs deadlocked here. Mavs owning that tiebreaker shoots them in front a little bit, but two games of separation now for a Mavs team that just about a week ago was in the back end race there with that Western Conference. I want to, though, start this off with the top of the race, which is the Northwest Division. We're going to get back to the Western Conference playing at the back end here, but if you look right now, the number one seed is up for grabs. This is the separation with the Thunder at 52-22. Nuggets have played one more game. Down in the loss column, Minnesota a full game back. Here are your odds. Those are FanDuel Sportsbook odds. All of these teams are off tonight. All of them play tomorrow. Denver the edge at minus 104. OKC plus 138. T-Wolves sitting there at 6-1. I will tell you that Timberwolves gap is primarily because with the absence of Karl Anthony Towns, they are being priced a bit lower than the Thunder and the Nuggets in the market. So that just changes confidence in them a lot. What's happening, though, between Denver and OKC is a huge gap in remaining strength of schedule. The Thunder have 8 games left, and it is the 10th hardest remaining schedule in basketball. And we're going to talk about Embiid in a little bit here. One of the things that's going to make that even more difficult is their trip to Philly tomorrow. It looks like Embiid will play in. Now, the Thunder are great. They've been great all year long. They win 70% of their basketball games. But the fact that that team all of a sudden goes to Philly and might see Embiid changes it. After that, they go to Boston on the second leg of a back-to-back. Now, the Thunder are great, and they do a lot of winning. But being able to pull off 1-1 in that situation feels like a win. 0-2, things would get dicey. The reason, though, why the Thunder have started to pull ahead for me and why I think they present the value at plus 138 at a different book, you're actually getting the Thunder as the favorite. Still a plus price if you like Denver, shop around. Here's how it works in simplest terms. Denver has lost a tiebreaker to both of these teams. So they have to finish with a better record to win the Northwest And that would then give him the one seed. Clippers are not going to get in the mix here. Certainly not with, you know, the amount of games left for anybody else. If Denver loses one more game, then the Thunder would have to lose three more in order for the Nuggets to jump them in the standings. Now, going 5-3 in that remaining stretch for OKC, it's possible. But again, if they do go 5-3, Denver has to be 6-1 or 7-0 in their final games. And I'll tell you, the schedule is there. A trip to LA against the Clippers and a home game against Minnesota. Outside of that, it could be double-digit lines in their other five games. But are they going to push it? The defending champs? I know home court for them is incredible. It's dominant. But is Denver going to push it to that degree? When you consider that Jamal Murray's been missing some games, is that a risk you want to run? Especially when being the one seed is advantage for home court, but it's not like there's a matchup you're hunting. You know, this isn't a situation where the eighth seed is a bad basketball team or the seventh seed's a bad basketball team. There's going to be high-end talent at the back end here. Is Denver going to push for that? And what if Denver goes 5-2? The Thunder then need to be 4-4 or worse. 4-4. A team that wins 70% of their games has to go just 500 now in order to make that happen. If Denver, by chance, goes 4-3, which I know would be a lot of upsets, but if they do, they're done here. They're done in this market. It makes Minnesota interesting at 6-1. The reason, though, I can't get there is Minnesota. We just saw them lose to the Bulls. There's just more upset potential without Cat. We saw Gobert get a little banged up with a play with Alex Caruso the other night that he was upset about. And I get it, but if they start to be cautious with Gobert, Minnesota just has to be healthy. That's the reality of it for the Timberwolves, and they're already not going to be healthy. I don't see Cat playing in the opening round. I don't know if they're going to be pushing for that number one seed. The value for me looks like it's on Oklahoma City at plus 138. And if all of a sudden Jokic doesn't have the one seed, could he be vulnerable in the MVP market? I would have thought yes to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The odds say the threat now to Jokic winning his third league MVP is Luka Doncic. Luka has moved tremendously in this market. Jokic is still a huge favorite at minus 700. But the Don in these last 2 weeks has cut his number down to plus 500. Luka Doncic leads the NBA in scoring at 34 a night, and it is almost a triple-double to go along with those 34. 9.8 assists, 9.1 rebounds. He is almost averaging a triple-double since the post-All-Star break, just a couple short on rebounds. Averaged a triple-double in the month of March. Luka Doncic has been brilliant. Probably the best run of basketball of his career. And Dallas now, shooting up to that fifth seed, it's going to check more of the boxes. I think it might have been hard for Luka to get there in the play-in, but they're playing so well right now, Dallas. Recency bias, it's moving Luka's odds. What I'd say is you can't, and not that many would anyway, but just you're not betting Jokic at minus 700. This is not free money. This is not, hey, let me put $700 down and I'm getting the 100 back. We know it for sure. If you have a Jokic ticket, hedging on Luka would be tempting. It would be tempting. I'm now wondering, though, because of what we just talked about with the top seed, is there an SGA charge? Could SGA charge into the conversation? If we're going to open it up for Luka, could they open it up for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? If you're holding Luka 20-1s, 40-1s, I don't know if it's the best number you found, but 20-1s recently we saw on Luka Doncic, then could you start to do some work here? You could. I think right now people are wanting to have this conversation, and there's not a big enough gap because Denver's roster gets so much respect now. Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter and Jamal Murray and even their head coach and Michael Malone, they get so much respect now. People are going to give Luka more credit for what he's done with Dallas, even if that's probably misguided. I mean, Kyrie around circle still probably more respected than Jamal Murray. I guess it depends on the moment, but it's a very interesting situation. If I was voting, I'd still be going SGA over Luka. I'm not voting. This is a real move that's really happening, and these conversations are happening. These conversations are happening. The MVP could get dropped off from Jokic. I still think he wins it. The market does too, at minus 700. But it's something to keep your eye on with these Luka performances here. He wants to win an MVP. Make no bones about it. He's been booked as a preseason favorite already three different times in his young career. At some point, he'll make good on it. Maybe it's now. Let's go over the Eastern Conference. Because in the East right now, is we are lining up for such a fascinating situation. So Boston, again, they iced the one seed a long time ago. Milwaukee, we need four more wins in their final eight basketball games that they have left to play, I believe, in order for us to get over this win total. So that's fine. I like where that sits. Cavs, Knicks, there's a race in here. But that's not what it's not about this middle. It's about the pedigree teams in the play-in and the Heat and the Sixers. And if this happens here, if Miami can't get out, Philly's not getting out. I just don't think Philly's going to get out. If they go on a crazy one run with Embiid, it's probably still not going to be enough. Maybe it is, but I don't know how much they're going to push Joel anyway. If this happens, what that will do is lock in the two seed to playing the winner of the game, and very likely lock the one seed into playing the loser. Could the Bulls or the Hawks pull off that upset? They could, but they're going to be sizable dogs, and they're going to be on the road, which completely changes the state of the Eastern Conference. Pull up the Eastern Conference odds for a second here, okay? When you look about how the market is reacting to the Joel Embiid news, because they put Philly on the move big time now that they know he's coming back. They're down to 12-1, the Philadelphia 76ers, to win the Eastern Conference. This team was sitting much higher than that. Again, if we could just put up those Eastern Conference odds to win the market outright. Because if you look with Boston here at minus 135, are you going to be pumped up if they have to play Miami or Philly in round one? Again, look where the Pacers are booked. Look where the Magic are booked. That's who some of these middle teams could get gifted and have home court advantage. And even if Boston could or Milwaukee can stave off upsets, which by the odds, one of them is upset. Milwaukee lost last year to Miami in the 1-8. Obviously, Miami beat Boston, went to the finals. Philly has juice, wouldn't be there. One of the best teams in basketball. He was going to run away with league MVP. We talk about it. We're in the month of March. We're now into April. But with the brackets being set, this Eastern Conference bracket, with these two teams being potentially the 7 and 8 seed, is something you have to watch for. We'll talk more about it all with Dave Sharapan. We're live. It's Game Time Decisions on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back here. It's Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh alongside Dave Sharapan, the Consig. 10-0 run for LSU. The Tigers lead 31-26. Dave, you always have the pulse of the people. There's no game on a Monday slate being talked about more. Betting-wise, are we seeing people getting involved in these two games today? USC and UConn is up next.
I think more people are getting involved in this one, K-Dub. I don't know nearly as many people are going to get involved in the next game, but there's people talking about this basketball game that never talked about women's basketball before. So that's what we need to do.
Yep.
I needed to stay competitive. This has been pretty good. That was a nice little run by LSU. So yeah, this is one of those ones that this will probably be, you'll hear in the circles, the biggest handle for women's college basketball game ever. This game.
Yep. I would imagine this game will be huge. If LSU wins, though, I think you see a drop off. Don't think, like, LSU UConn, LSU USC are huge games. You will see a drop off. If Caitlin advances, you might see a bit of a drop off from this game, but if we get the national title game and it's Caitlin Clark, South Carolina, I think it could top this. Top this, right, Dave?
That momentum will build up. I mean, you know, we'll see it. We'll see it in the men's. I mean, to kind of, you know, cross promote it, look at it, yeah. Whatever. If it's not Purdue and Connecticut, it's going to be a drop-off. If it's Purdue and Connecticut, it's going to be a monster.
Let's talk about that. By the way, for those who were with me on the Haley Van Lith bet, came out, scored their first basket, awesome, benched. Not awesome. Just need her to not get benched. She did come back in right before the quarter ended. Angel Reese has 10-5-3 early. The live total, 190.5. That's what you love to see. Connecticut, Alabama, Purdue, NC State.
Yeah.
My frustration is that, and I get it, but and you can tell me if I'm wrong, the odds makers are like, all right, we're tired of this. Here's the worst number we've ever booked. They don't actually think UConn is 11.5 points better than Bama. But they know people are only betting UConn at this point, and it's a one-game sample size, and maybe tournament UConn is 11.5 points better than every single team in college basketball. And it's one of those things, I'm guessing, Dave, they hang this number, and they wait for someone like me to be like, we all know this should be 6.5, 7.5, and everybody else is betting UConn.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this. The odds maker just puts up the number to try to get a bet on the other side. And if I say UConn -9 and UConn -10, no one's betting the other side. You got to push it to a number where someone is willingly going to hand you money and say they won Alabama without judgment or without pressure. That's the art of finding the number is all that is. That's not an indication of what's going to happen. So,
right.
30-0 runs, everybody remembers.
It's crazy.
I had never seen a 30-0 run. I watched a lot of basketball
crazy.
For a lot of years. It's incredible what they're doing.
In the Elite Eight.
Illinois is not a bad basketball team. It wasn't like
they're good.
Playing,
no, they're good.
You know, Iona or Penn State, in fairness. Or in fairness, Penn State. It wasn't just a person.
Hey, Iona gave them all I had for a half last year. I only gave him all I had.
I don't know.
He knows that upset me.
Up,
he does.
I think
knows that upset me.
We found the top, K-Dub. It's up. I mean, 12 is it. 12 is it. That's where the bad guys came in, at least out in the desert. They took the 12, sitting at 11.5. Come Saturday, we're going to see all the stories. We're going to see the practices from Phoenix and all these things. There's not too many people making a case for Bama. There really isn't. That doesn't mean they can't cover, but I don't think they can win a game. Can they win the game?
I do. Yeah, they do. They can beat anybody with that with the offensive ceiling they have. They have the highest offensive ceiling in college basketball. UConn has the highest offensive floor. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
But if they shoot 50 threes and they're hot, they win on the math. That's what Nate Oates does. Nate Oates is excellent. The one thing though that's very clear is they are not going to let people do UConn Purdue moneyline parlays. You're gonna have to take those two and pair them with the Dodgers, and then maybe another baseball game on Saturday, Dave. That's what I'm seeing.
Probably the Yankees. That's it.
The Yankees team looks all right.
Hey, look,
Yankees team looks all right. Yankees team could be a baseball year. Could be a baseball. I'll tell you what.
Here we go.
LeBron's talking about retiring.
Right?
Maybe it's a baseball year.
Are you good?
Haley Van Lith for three. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute, Dave. Hold on. That's five quick.
Out of the seat. Got you out of the seat.
That's big. Hard to bench someone that's 2-for-2 from the field with five early. That's all we'll say.
Okay.
Talk to me, though, quickly.
Yeah.
With the baseball, right?
Yep.
Opening day handle. Weekend handle and what it looks like now for the next few weeks here. Is there a big drop off?
Oh yeah, this is fun. Opening day is fun. And then, you know, the basketball dominates over the weekend, except for certain teams, you know, you get some handle. Dodger games late, isolated last night, you know, they're never out of a game. They're losing 4-0 to the Cardinals. Come back and win. It never stops. The Dodgers just never stops. It's the biggest handle stuff during the week for the next couple weeks, other than spot NBA games. I heard you discussing you know, the Western bottom half is going to be a fun chase. Those games, like tonight, you know, Phoenix and the Pelicans is a good game. That'll do to handle that. A lot of the other games, I mean, you got to find these player props or you got to find this other stuff. It's all baseball, at least during the week, you know, for the next 2 weeks.
Baseball, they just pepper in the day games, and they're doing their job. That's all they got to do.
That's it.
That's all they do. They pepper in the day games, give us a night board. Baseball's doing a great job right now.
Yes.
They're doing a great job keeping the attention, which is key. I think what's interesting, too, with baseball is what does it take for a move? So Soto's MVP odds dropped a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because realistically, no Yankee fan missed the first four games with the way it went. They saw that, and they went, all right, we're clicking him for MVP.
That's it.
I get it, right?
Uh-huh.
But here's the unfortunate thing with baseball is I just got an update that says Angel Reese is hurt. Let me get eyes on this. She is limping considerably and hobbling off the court.
Not good.
Let's see if they lock the lines. So she blocked a shot of Caitlin Clark and then kind of went going into the stands. She's having an incredible game, by the way. She's been the best player on the court.
Mm.
Now she's going to look to tie the shoe. Lines are not locked. Up four, 1.5-point line with two free throws coming.
Keep it up. Take bets. Let's go. It's open. Fire away.
Yeah, I agree. Because, look, in the room, there isn't an Angel Reese button they hit, right?
No.
Also, look, we don't know. She just got over to the bench, and there's a lot of game left. There's no live player props also, right, which is important when it comes with the women's college game. We're not there yet. And I guess with the – ooh, they have live specials, though. They're all Caitlin Clark-based. The score 40 plus 185.
You got to give the people what they want. That's what they want. That's what they're going to bet. Not that that's a, you know – anyone else deserves it.
Yeah.
That's what people know. Mm-hmm. That's what people want. Mainstream stuff.
She is heading to the locker room. I have a question for you.
Yes.
What do you think the volume, attention, how do you think it plays out when she goes to the WNBA next year? Like, there are WNBA specials up involving Caitlin Clark right now. So clearly they're expecting more intrigue. How much do you think it sustains?
I think she's going to end up right in the middle of the country. This is going to be perfect for Handel. It's going to make her games probably on a regular basis be the most Handel games. And if the market is there, you're going to have to do props. You're going to have to do different items of different things that people will bet. This will be great. I think it's a win-win for everybody, win-win for the league, win-win for Indiana, win-win for the bettors. There's going to be things available. The guys that love to fade and bet the unders will have their opportunities because there's going to be a lot of over bets on Caitlin Clark props in WNBA.
Yeah, they haven't hung a fair number on Caitlin Clark all 2 years of doing this. Not one. Doesn't mean she can't get there.
Right.
It doesn't mean she can't get there, but Angel Reese back into the game. Is not walking. It's there. Up four. Man, that's interesting.
Just tie that shoe up. Get back out there. Let's go. We'll worry about this in half time. Work this out.
You got to attack it a little, though.
You remember back in the day, you ever roll an ankle? I mean, it hurts.
Yeah.
You shake
it. It does.
Yeah.
She's not right.
Uh-oh.
She shouldn't be out there.
Uh-oh. We should be betting. Are you telling me we should be betting Iowa?
No, because I think to what you're saying, like if the books moved at 5 points because of Angel Reese, we'd be betting LSU. They're not really moving anything. She just scored again, though. She's locked in. She's locked. That's the adrenaline bump. She might have 6 minutes in her. Get to half, it balloons, and then that's that. Look, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But what are you doing with the rest of the – what are you doing, hockey, baseball? What do you like tonight, Consig? No way you're betting NBA tonight.
The NBA's tough. I think Pels – we'll keep an eye on the Pelicans against Phoenix. I saw that move early this morning. Kings, Winnipeg under, low-scoring game. Penguins are up 2-0 against the Rangers. Might be time to bet the Rangers after one. Down to the Penguins. Penguins are going to
rags.
Been blowing leads on a regular basis.
Yep.
Edmonton in regulation. That's the only other one I really considered looking at. Is it time to fade the Yankees tonight? Because it wasn't time to fade the Pirates against the Nationals today, despite what Sam said in my ear before the
no, that's a good point by
You know?
They might lose every game. I think the Yanks are in for quick. What do you? I'm on the Astros. They get their win or no?
I think so. Yep, that matchup tonight. What about Texas? Texas is another one I looked at tonight. I said maybe Texas is the side. Yeah, they're up.
They're up 3-0 on Tampa.
That's a good start. Done.
We'll see how it goes.
We're betting pitch
and sig.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out a Monday night game time decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh in Game Live. Up next, so make sure you stay dialed right here on Sports Grid. Plenty of baseball, NBA, NHL for the crew to follow, as well as the matchup between Iowa and LSU. Close game right now. Caitlin Clark hot from beyond the arc, three threes, and there's still plenty of time to go. Rooting on some Haley Van Lift. She's got five early ones. Angel Reese is playing excellent. Did injure the ankle. Locker room, back in, limping a bit, not really slowing her down, still getting blocks, still getting to the line. So we'll see how that plays out. Updated numbers have LSU slightly favored of the basketball game. Total shooting through that pregame, 167.5. Keeping it with the women's college game, the best bet tonight. Let's go Paige Beckers over 3.5 assists. Flew through this number in each of the first two games in the tournament and has routinely gone over this when playing 35-plus minutes this year, which she is doing in every single tournament game. Don't be surprised if she plays the full 40 with this matchup in USC. Went under last game, only one assist. They only scored 53 points, and she did a lot of the scoring in that game. I think this game can get over against USC here. There's a lot of offensive talent on the floor, and if UConn is closer to 65, 70 points, which is around their team total, then she's going to get over the 3.5 assists. I am rooting on USC. The pre-tournament 50-1 national title ticket has done a great job up until this point. We'll see if it continues. Baseball-wise, Miami with the lead over the Angels is great to see as they're trying to stop the 0-4 start from being an 0-5 start. The MLB play of the day is the Astros in the same spot. We like Blanco in the matchup against the Toronto Blue Jays. Also took a slight home dog price on the Seattle Mariners. NBA pick Chicago Bulls laying the 2 against the Atlanta Hawks. Great team without Trey at home, not as much on the road. That is game time decisions on a Monday. We are right back at it tomorrow as we continue to get you set throughout all of the action and the fallout from today's Elite Eight games in the women's NCAA tournament. In Game Live is next. I'm Kevin Walsh. See you tomorrow. Good luck.